Picture's worth a thousand words, isn't it? Okay, so would you guys pray for me, and then we'll get started. Okay, Father God, I pray that you would give me the words that you would have us to hear tonight, Lord. We need to hear from you tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the psalmist said, teach me to number my days. And you know, and I thought about this. I was mowing the yard the other day. And I'm in the backyard, or I wasn't mowing, I was raking, leaf blowing. And I watched the leaves fall. And then I started thinking about the fall of man. And then I started thinking about the cycles of life. You have winter, spring, summer, fall. Winter, spring, summer, fall. And I would say that I'm probably in the late summer, early. Yes, no, I'm in fall. Depends if you ask Glenn or me. We're coming nearer to meeting Jesus. And as evidenced by the picture, so outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed daily, or we should be. Yeah? So I thought about that, and I realized, I was talking to Zach earlier, the pictures, the ladies look pretty similar. The men, we don't look that similar. So I believe it's evidence how easy it is living with us. It's, well, I'm just saying, if you look at the difference, you look at you guys compared to us, and we're like, man, we what happened to us? I know it's hard to believe, but we were handsome at one time. Now, we still married pretty wise. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. But I started thinking about this. And this has been a challenging week for us for a lot of reasons. It's a busy time of year. We have a lot going on here at the church. We have a lot going on at home. Do you guys ever realize how fast it's going by? I mean, it is. I thought old people used to say it. Well, they do, because I'm old now. It sure goes fast. We've been here almost 4 years. Can you believe that? We've been a church. We left the city, and we've actually been here twice as long as we were in the city. And to me, it just seems like a blink of an eye. It's just going so fast. And I wonder when it all winds up. In fact, I had a friend, we did a funeral, and his son had lived a pretty bad life. I'm not going to get into who it was. A lot of people, you would know the name. But his son finally got it together at about 62, 63, 65. And he said, Pastor, I kind of feel like I'm just figuring it out. And now I'm done. It's like, wow, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start. When's the best time to plant an oak tree? When's the next best time? Right now, right? So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And it's just two lines. I told Amanda, now this is a good thing. This is going to be a really short message. And she was like, oh no, every time you said, so I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a long one. Be prepared. It's going to be a long message tonight. Can somebody grab me a water? I left mine back there to share. Somebody just an ice water. Water. So here's what's going on in this book. Isaiah the prophet. By the way, lore has it that he was sawed in half. Yeah, Isaiah 40. So what's going on in this book? The first part of the book is looking to something that was going to happen, the exile. And the last part of the book, it's actually in captivity. They've been taken away into Babylon. And Isaiah is speaking. In the first part of the book, Isaiah is saying, this is going to happen. Thanks, Candy. And did you guys meet Joshua's brother? So the first part of the book, Isaiah is saying, this is going to happen. And later that's going to happen. And by now the Israelites are saying, it has happened. It has happened because we are in Babylon by our own disobedience. Anybody ever get busted free and then you find yourself back in chains because you didn't do what God said. The chains come back. God releases you. That's what's happened to these guys. They're now suffering the consequence of their disobedience. But don't you love God's not done? I love that thing, But God. Isn't there a song called But God? I love that because God has a different plan. So I'm just going to read two lines. Starting at verse, actually I might lead, I'm going to stick with the plan. Okay. At verse 6, a voice said, and I'm going to use the NLT, but I'm going to break this down a little bit. A voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? This is Isaiah. Shout, the people are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. You can look at the pictures. And I've always thought of that passage as meaning like in a physical sense. But the more I dug and the more I did my recon, what he's speaking to, first of all, he's saying this, after all the bad news, Isaiah's actually, I have comfort for you. I know all the things that you've done. And God understands all the things that you've done. He's speaking through Isaiah. And another version, which I like better, but I like this. He said, cry. Cry. Cry aloud. I want to tell them this now. You know all the bad news, but I'm about to lay some good news on you. Right? And he's saying this. What should I shout? Shout, the people are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly. Pause that. You're taking a point blank. Their beauty fades. You can see the pictures. Except for our wives. Always important to say that. Theirs just gets better and better. But the original word, the beauty, or another version would say glory. Another word would say this. But in the Hebrew, there's a word called hesed. H-E-S-E-D. And it was a type of love. And he's comparing the type of love that humans have, the kind that says, I like you when you like me. I like you when you do nice things. I don't like you when you do bad things. I cast you out when you screw it up, and I let you back in when you get it right. That's not the kind of love that God has. And he's saying, if you're counting on that kind of love, that's not me. God's mercies are renewed every day. How many in the church say amen, hallelujah, thank God for your grace every day? Because grace doesn't run out. It just keeps going on. It's linear, right? Though your sins are like scarlet. He says, come, look. And I love it. I love that passage. It's in Isaiah between 1 and 61 somewhere. But anyway, he says, come. Let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them white as wool. And I remember a couple weeks ago when I talked about your sense of scarlet, it's blood, the covering of Christ, his blood covers. And I'm thinking to this, so God is a God that will forgive and wants to re-energize and renew you because he's not about taking you out. If he did, none of us would, we'd already be gone, right? He doesn't delight in the perishing of the wicked. He is actually slow in coming back because he wants all to come to repentance. And I might add, he likes you as you are. Not as you should be, because none of us are as we should be. We're all kind of jacked up. So, he said, and I don't know if it's, wow, that's kind of interesting. He said, it could be pronounced hesed, something like that, but H-E-S-E-D, wrapping itself all of the positive attributes of God, love, he's a promise keeper. And he's contrasting us to God, to himself. Your beauty is going to fade. Your promises you don't keep. You don't do what you say you were going to do. You don't do, you go back on your word. So he's contrasting, like your he said, or beauty fades out. Mine doesn't. It's consistent all the time. That's a praise God, right? You guys ever get, I love meeting new believers. I love it. I'm telling you what, I'm going to be at church every single Saturday. I promise you. No, I'm not that guy. I promise you, you won't be. No, you won't. You know what? If everybody else gives up on you, I won't. Yes, you will. You'll give up. As soon as you see the real me, you'll give up. So then we mask it all up because we don't let people to see the real us because we know you're going to leave like everybody else left. God says, I won't. The kind of love I have, it's going to go on and on and on and on, and you can count on me. You can't count on anybody else. I'm going to say, oh, he said don't trust. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you can count on. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. He loves you, and he's keeping you, and he understands that your beauty is fading. You're about as fickle as they come, but I still love you. I still care about you, and I keep all my promises because that's who I am. That is what the Word says. I think it's so funny. That's why the Word is so important, to know what God said, to dig into it, to get it in your mind, to get it inside of your heart, so you know when people leave, just because they left or they don't do what they said doesn't mean they're in the same boat as you are. Their glory is fading just like yours. And I do think that all the seasons that we go through, everything is pointing to God. Death, life, fall, rebirth, it's all pointing to me. It's constantly pointing and crying out that I love you and I care about you. Even in this late season in your life, you know, it won't be long. We're going to be standing before him. Table that thought for a minute. I think I've talked about this before. I'm going to talk about it again. You have two judgments coming. It's sure because God said it's appointed once for man to die and then the judgment. He said it. It's going to happen. Period. So there's two judgments coming. We have the Bema Seat judgment and you have the White Throne judgment. If you're at the White Throne judgment, it's too late. There's nothing you can do when you go there. It's too late, and the only thing you're going to sit here, guilty. And off you go. I don't know how that works, but you don't want to be there. Not when Christ paid the way for you not to be there. The Bema Seat, so in Greece they would have the games, the Olympic games, and they would have, you know, they pass out the first place, which normally is where Barry got, and I was like third place in all the athletics until we started our painting company. Okay, now I'm first place. Shut up, Groom, somebody ask you. But then picture Paul, and I love Paul using all the analogies he did because he's speaking to an audience. They would recognize immediately what I'm talking about. When you stand before Christ as Christians, you're going to be rewarded for what you've done for the name of Jesus. Okay, turn to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 5 and 10. Oh, let's see. And that's not it. First Corinthians 3, okay. There it is. Okay, cool. So this is concerning the Bema Seat. And first of all, I had a preacher one time, he would say, you know that scripture where God's going to wipe away every tear in heaven? He surmised, it's not gospel, his thoughts were, when we get to heaven and God's going to unroll the video of your life. You know, we get cameras all over this building, right? Now we can call Cecil and go back and look at whatever day it was. And it'll unroll. When you stand before Christ and your life, however that goes, is going to be replayed minute by minute, second by second, minute by minute, day by day, week by week. Everything you've said, thought, and done is going to be reviewed with Christ looking. You're like, oh, even that. But there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, sure, there's going to be some, oh, man. But then Christ comes along and wipes it away. Listen to this. because of God, this is Paul, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. I'm at verse 10 in chapter 3. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ, our rock. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewel, wood, hay, or straw. But on Judgment Day, the Bema Seat Judgment, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has been of any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. We don't want to be that guy, right? So, and I think I talk a lot about this because it's on my heart. Imagine standing before Jesus. He's unrolling and playing your life over. Minute by second by second, minute by minute, thought by thought, and asking you, what was going on here? That's amazing grace, isn't it? Some of you, oh, even that, yeah, even Thursday. Wednesday, definitely Wednesday. Last Sunday, oh, for sure. Saturday too, last month, last week, yeah. You have to give an account for it. It's like if Barry were to bring Jeffrey in for review in the company. Jeffrey, let's talk about your last month's worth of work. You know, nobody wants to go in for a review, but we're going to stand before God, the Bema Seat of Christ, and you will give an explanation for every thought, every deed, everything you did. And I don't know how long that takes. It's God, so it can happen in a blink of an eye. But aren't you glad that we have Jesus that says, not guilty? You'll have to go through it, but I'd rather go through it and be embarrassed and get in then have to face the white throne judgment where there's no excuse. You're guilty. You're done. Right? Isn't that great? Everybody just take a collective sigh. It's okay. It's great. Okay? Their beauty fades quickly as the flowers in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. You know, remember that? Where God breathed life into Adam, you know. And remember the same breath, ruach, I think it's called. Remember how it scorched Jonah? So the same breath that sustains you is the same breath that can chasten you. Turn your Bibles to, let me back it up a little bit. Circle this back. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 3. And this is going back to, Isaiah is reminding them at the beginning of Isaiah, this is going to happen, but he's taking them back in time. And Isaiah is saying, this is going to happen as sure as this is going to happen. Chapter 30, verse 1. In the future, now we're in the future when Isaiah is talking in front of, in the future, when you experience all these blessings and curses I have listed for you, and when you are living among the nations to which the Lord your God has exiled you, take to heart all of these instructions. If at that time you and your children will return to the Lord your God, and if you obey with all of your heart and all of your soul and all the commands I have given you, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. Here's the good part. He will have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations where he has scattered you. That happened in 1948. You know? It happened. Just like he said it was going to happen. Sometimes you're like, I got to be honest, man. Sometimes you're like, I was talking to someone today, And I said, sometimes when you're really going through the tough times, I mean hard stuff, not that, you know, not that I didn't get a raise. I'm talking about stuff that's ripping your insides out, that you feel like your soul's going to die. Like you feel like, I'm not getting out of this one. Like my back's against the wall. We can trust God that He will come through if we just keep believing His Word. That's what this is all about, right? Tonight, that's what, because my back has been against the wall a few times bad. As a Christian, as the pastor, this is it. I'm going under. And the spark of faith, the spark of hope, every man's been given a measure. When you listen to God, you cry out to God, and you believe God at His Word, He will bring you through it. You just got to keep on believing. It's hard, and you'll feel like your guts are being ripped out from the inside, but I can look back and go, man, and I said this today, I wouldn't take $1 million for it or give you a plug nickel to go back and do what I had to go through, but I'm better because I went through it, because I trusted God and leaned on His Word. You can do one or two things. You can run the other way. You can go hide. You can go pitch a little part, blame everybody, or you can accept responsibility, because a lot of times we do it ourselves, right? And then sometimes I think it's easier when times are tough. I think that's why the greatest generation, we're a great generation, because they never had it easy. They always had it hard. It was difficult times. Am I right? It was hard, and it created this generation through struggle that we'll never see another generation like that, because we have it so good, right? But I think the challenge, and that's why we're constantly beating the horn, read the Word. Know what God said. Get it in your spirit. Understand what it meant, and do the deep dives. Dig it. Do different translations. Have some fun, because when the tough time comes calling, you're going to have, as Barry says, some spiritual equity in your bank. And when the storms of life come, either you create them or they come out of the blue, you'll be still standing. Sometimes it feels like you won't be. But it's easier to, when times are, when it sucks, let's just say what it is, it's sometimes easier to follow God. It's when things are going every, it's like I said a few weeks ago, when you're driving down 70 and it's completely straight, you fall asleep. Right? Right now I say, well, we're experiencing some difficulty in our family. It's no secret. There's no perfect family. Nobody has it all together. We all have our issues, right? The difference is between us and somebody doesn't, we have the Word of God. That's why, and these people, the Jewish people here are in exile, and they're going, we're Israel. But Isaiah is saying, yeah, but God told you exactly what was going to happen. And it happened just like He said. So now you know the Word is true because you have a track record. If you listen to me today is the day of your salvation. If you listen to me today, God's saying, I'm going to take care of you. Just come back. Isn't it beautiful? To me, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I was reading it. You ever guys ever read Macbeth? Oh. Talk about depressing. I mean, just stab me with an ice pick. I was reading some today, and I was like, are you kidding me? You're talking about hopeless. Macbeth just says, you're bald now, you're fat now, Randy, you got a gut, you're done. Yeah, that's my paraphrase. The Bible, the Word of God, says there's an imperishable inheritance waiting for you on the other side if you just hang on. I know you're fading and your beauty is fading and you can't keep your promises and you're a liar and you're a cheater and you're all of these things that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with me, says the Lord, because you can't do it. Now, I will say, if you've been walking, Earl, would you say in walking with the Lord 350 years that you're not quite a scoundrel like you were? Okay, only 50. But would you say, in all seriousness, that your line is, you're able to walk it straighter because you want to? Because you believed in God's Word? It's right. It's right. It's the word, right? Would you say, so in other words, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I get that. But he also says, shall I go on sinning so grace shall abound? By no means. And he's just saying, that's crazy talk. Why would you want to keep sinning when you've given the divine power to not do it? Right? The challenge for us is, as humans, is to respond to God's promises through the Holy Spirit, believe what he said, that I don't have to do this, I don't want to do this, and through wisdom and maturity and sanctification, you should be able to spot a trap a long way away. I had a friend of mine the other day. Said, hey, got this really cool deal. I'm able to go ride some dirt bikes on this person's property and something like that. And I'm kind of switching the story. But you'll understand what I'm saying about wisdom and Holy Spirit leading. If you'll just listen, he always makes a way out. I said, that's pretty good. Oh, yeah, it's a young lady going to let me use her property. I'm out. Done. You can't go. You can't do it. You won't do it. You can't do it. That's just wisdom. That's not even like a test. You should know that just by natural things. You don't go do it. You don't do it. It wouldn't matter if they gave you a motorcycle to ride on the property. Don't go for any reason, ever. Why? Because you know the outcome. God says don't do this. Avoid the very appearance of evil. It goes back to understanding what God said and the reason it said it. Because I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for your best interest, right? If anybody ever read an owner's manual to a car? Of course, nerd, you would. Elijah says, I love owner's manuals. Well, you know, I think my son probably would too. Yep, okay. But, you know, the owner manuals come out so you get the best use out of your car. Not because I'm trying to bore you with a bunch of stuff. I'm putting this owner manual in your hands that you'll change the tires when you're supposed to, you'll change your fluids when you're supposed to, because we want you to enjoy this automobile as much as you can. If you don't do this, then you're probably going to crash your car, wreck your car, and it's going to wear out prematurely. The Bible and God's rules that he has are for your betterment, not because he's a cosmic buzzkill. He wants you to have life and have it abundantly. It's what Jesus said. Now, here's the thing. Listen, we got to get our hand on this. We're living in the light of eternity. We're almost home. We are so close. You can almost smell a yard with no dandelions. Well, we love the dandelions. Okay, well, that's a bad analogy. But you get the point. We're almost there. We're so close, church. We've been doing this for a long time, right? Some of you are really close. I could be there before you. I'll save you a seat. But when we get there, we don't want to be the Kingsford charcoal guy smelling like, yeah, let him in. A little smoky. Smoky Randy. I don't want to be Smoky Randy. I want to be like, yeah. And I'd rather go through my life living in the light of eternity. And let me say this. Pause on that. Don't think for a second that we don't drift. Our mind doesn't drift. That we're just tiptoeing through the tulips all the time. That we're just constantly, Lord, I'm beseeching you every second of the day. He knows you have a life. Right? He knows you can't keep your promises. He knows that your prayers are feeble and lame. He knows all of that. He knows your ins and outs and comings and goings, your failures, your lies. He knows it all, and still, he loves you. It's not like, so don't think for a second that we're those guys. We're not. Mitzi might be. Yes. I believe there will be dogs in heaven. Except for David Baez's dog. He will not be. Convinced. Every time I see that dog, that dog needs to be saved. It's like, I don't like your dogs. So, here we go. The Word of God. Hey, I'm almost done. It's a modern miracle. Not quite, because I have another thing I want to hit. You know, they've been trying to get rid of the Word of God forever, but God says, my Word endureth forever. You know, there's two things that have eternal life. You know what they are? Men's souls and the Word of God. Everything else you see is going to be gone. Yes, gone. Men's souls and God's Word. You know who Voltaire is? Oh, he was a bad guy. And this is just one of the stories I found on how Voltaire was a God mocker. You ever meet a God mocker? There's a Greek word called idiot for people like that. You don't mock God and get away with it, not for long. Well, Voltaire would have lived in the mid-1700s. And he said, tell you what I'm going to do. He started printing all kind of pagan and atheistic material and dispersing it through, I think it was France. And he said, within 100 years, I'm going to have the Bible gone. It's going to happen. The Word of God. The Word of God. That's so precious. This will change your life if we just pick it up and believe it. It will change. You cannot stay the same if you get into this Bible and you read it and you believe it. You can't stay the same. You won't. Barry will give you $20 if you... Won't you, Barry? Okay, good. Because you'll never have to get... And he's cheap. If you read the Bible and you read it and you dig it and you start responding to what it says and asking God, oh, Jesus, is that true? And please show me. If you do, your life will change. Period. If you could just keep your life the same if you want. But Voltaire said, I'm taking it out. Wouldn't you know it, within 100 years, guess what was on his... What his manufacturing company was manufacturing? Bibles. And guess what? You know, he had long come gone. He's gone. Just like we'll be gone. Everybody's going to be gone. But the Word of God endureth forever. And guess what? His house stored. Could it be the Roman Catholic Church tried getting rid of the Bible in the Middle Ages? Because they knew, Martin Luther said, you know what? A Bible in a peasant's hand will make him more powerful than the Pope. Oh, that didn't really fly real well. Now, since then, they're coming around in a bit. They're understanding that the Word of God is where the power is. It's not in the Pope. It's not in the priest. Don't call anybody on earth Father, except for your Father in heaven. A few things that I had some bones to pick with. But you know what? But the Word of God and the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, people, well, this Bible's been translated and all kinds of different things and this and that. It's, you know, mockers. That's what they do. They, you know, you need 1,000 reasons to not believe. So, okay, I lost my train of thought. That's okay. The little kid got me laughing. I love that. Oh, I will say this. Speaking of whether this message makes sense, if you just, guys, get into the Word of God. And that's why we're doing these home studies. That's why we're doing these home studies. We're deep diving. We're really getting into it. We're giving some spiritual disciplines to lay out throughout your life. So when you stand before Christ, and you most certainly will, you got something to show for your time here. That's really what it boils down to. Right? This is a testing ground. And then we get to kick it in heaven forever. But we don't want to be there by ourselves. We want to tell people about that the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? So this week, there's two little creepers that have been, well, actually it's three. Man has been spent some time at the place, too. But Lincoln, the little shadow guy, he's there. What's up, buddy? So I said, I just got to get up. And by the way, one of those is going to be a place that we can escape to. We'll talk about that later. Make it comfy and nice, of course you will. Anyway, whole thing, it's a sidebar. So I come in, I'm just going to get up. Because I got my thing. Everybody have a routine they do to spend their time with the Lord? Just a little, your thing that you do, just get off by your. I remember when I did, had my little thing. I come in there, and you know what? I love Jesus because I know I'm changing because Jesus said, let the kids come to me. So this week, this morning, I got to get up, and I'm going to go and get to the Word of God because the people need to hear from you, Jesus. They don't need to hear from me, and I already knew I was going to talk about, so I'm in there. And then I hear, I came in, he was sitting on my, rubbing my hair, rubbing my scalp. And I was like, Lord, here's the thing. Now, I've heard it once said, Jesus prepares preachers. Not the word. If you prepare, I'll always give a word. I'll have a word for you. So wherever you are in your life, could you see how fast it's going? Enjoy God. Enjoy your family. Understand what He said and that you are the apple of God's eye. And when you get that, it's a game changer. He's not up there trying to throw lightning bolts to condemn you because you're terrible prayers. If you're not a really good prayer, raise your hand. He sees it and he goes, I'm okay with it. Just glad to hear from you. Okay? If you're a terrible Bible student, but you want to be better, raise your hand. If you find your mind drifting, I was reading John. How did I end up over here? Now I'm at Target. I don't even go to Target. What's going on? That's cover two. But you can also pray to the Holy Spirit and ask Him, okay, wrangle my mind. And Paul says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You can also ask Him, King of Heaven, will you let me get into what I'm doing here? And He will. But we got to wrangle that thing in. So this is the message for tonight. Did you guys get anything out of tonight? Must have been Jesus, because you know what? It's been a week. That's all I can say. But you know what? He's still on the throne. If someone in here doesn't know God, or you haven't been spending as much time as you would like, or He would like, just ask Him, help me desire you more. I certainly wouldn't pray for tough times to come your way where you kind of want to jump into His lap. They're coming anyway. Why not be prepared for it, right? Because it's going to happen. It's tough. It's hard. And guess what? We're almost home. So we're living in the light of eternity. Eternity. And I know we're here in the flesh. It's hard to wrap your mind around it. But I think when you get into the Word and it's being illuminated by the Holy Spirit, God gives you a glimpse of how it could be and how it will be forever. My dad will have hair. I'll have a tan. And I won't have these funky spots from spending all the time in the sun. Because I'll be standing in the sun. And I'll be complete. And I'll be like the way I'm supposed to be. And it's all because Jesus paid for us to be there. It's great. It is grace. So good. So here's the point for tonight. Wherever we are, spend more time with Jesus. He wants to hear from you. Steve does. He wants to hear from you. Like, I just love you. I just wish you would sit down long enough. And trust me, don't say, but I got A. Don't even go down the letter thing. I got them all too. I got ADHD. I'm just not a good reader. Or I remember the stories from when I was a kid. Get into the Word of God, right? Ask God to help me pray better. I get that I'm not a very good prayer. Help me, will you? Okay, I'll do that. Worship, and we're going to get into that. And if you're not involved in one of those small groups, they're really going to be cool. I think fellowship happens in context, community. I think discipleship happens in community, like organic discipleship, you know, happens. I think that's it. Could go for another half an hour, Amanda. I won't, though. Father God, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you have not left us here without your presence, Lord. I thank you for your written word. I pray in Jesus' name that this church becomes a steward of the word, that we understand that you create even more of a desire, not only to read it, but really drill down on it and understand what you said, Lord, because that's a game changer when we do that. From the word he said, the original Jewish word, Lord, it's so good. It's that kind of love that is, it's not agape. But Lord, we thank you for that you have that kind of love, that you're a promise keeper, that you don't lie, Lord, that you always come through for us, that it's steadfast, that you're faithful, and all of those things, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your grace covers all that we're not, Lord, and you understand the frailty of us, that our beauty fades, just like the grass and the flowers, but the beauty that you're talking about is our faithfulness wanes from week to week sometimes, and our ability to tell the truth wanes from time to time, Lord. But would you help us get better, Lord? Would you help us? Holy Spirit, come and have your way with us in our lives and our marriages, Lord, with our children and in this church, Lord. Thank you for the build that's going on, Lord. But we pray in all things that we're pointing to you. It's your glory we want to point to. It's your beauty. It's your, he said, we want to spread around the world, around this community. In Jesus' name, amen.